and welcome to Going Shamanic. My name is Jennifer Ingracio, and my medicine name is Snowhawk, and it's really great to be back from hiatus. It's been a few months, and it's nice to be with all of you guys again. I'm happy to host this show tonight on Martial Arts for Healing. This show is pre-recorded, so we won't be taking any callers. The history of Qigong goes back over 5,000 years, and it has its roots in the ancient shamanic practices of China. Taoists and Shaolin Buddhists were among the first in the country to combine breath and movement to increase health all around the inner medicine wheel, heart, body, mind, spirit, and life force. For martial artists, Qigong training is still credited as the basis for developing extraordinary skills, such as the ability to withstand blows and the ability to break hard objects, because Qigong brings energy to the surface of the body and increases circulation. Today, Qigong is classified as a soft martial art that can be practiced widely by anyone of any age and ability level. Spring Forest Qigong was developed by Master Chuni Lin as a simple, efficient, and effective method for helping people experience optimal health, wellness, and happiness. Qigong can help heal physical and emotional pain, as well as enhancing the quality of life for practitioners of this ancient art. Spring Forest Qigong is comprised of four parts that all work together: breathing, gentle movements, which are active exercises, mental focus, and sound. Master Chuni Lin designed all Spring Forest Qigong active exercises to enhance the flow of energy in the meridians of the body, to open up energy blockages, and to bring the body's energy back into balance. In the Chinese view of medicine, having balanced, smoothly flowing energy is the key to experiencing and maintaining optimal health and wellness. Our guest today is Diane Smith. Diane is a sound healer and certified Spring Forest Qigong instructor. Diane loves to share the gift of Qigong with others and witness the empowerment that it brings to others' lives. Diane completed her Spring Forest Qigong Level 4 and is also a certified instructor and master healer, presently leads practice groups in Calgary, Alberta. Sound therapy is also a practice that Diane is passionate about. She utilizes Tibetan bowls and tuning forks to enhance energy treatments. She also uses her bowls in her Qigong practice groups. So welcome to the show, Diane.
Thank you so much for having me, Jen.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Now, you've practiced Qigong for many years now. Why are you so passionate about this practice, and how did it change your life when you first started practicing?
So I started practicing a different style just over about 10 years ago, and I could feel the profound connection, instant connection to spirit. And it was such a beautiful, simple, easy-flowing modality, but when the instructor was in front of me, these original movements that I had learned were very complicated, more like a Tai Chi rhythm. Mm. And if you weren't in front of the instructor, I just couldn't remember all the moves. And then one day she decided she was going to retire teaching her style of Qigong. And so I didn't have anybody to practice. And one day I just decided to keep trying, you know, putting that out to the universe. And I typed in Qigong Calgary, and up popped Spring Forest Qigong. And I instantly fell in love. Within 2 weeks, I had taken level one, 2 weeks later, level two. And I have to tell you, Jen, not only physically, but it helped to balance my emotions so fast that it instant gratification, basically.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's actually a good point, because I studied an iron shirt Qigong that was more complicated too. And luckily, one of my early instructors, she had simplified it quite a lot to make it more accessible for everyone, because, you know, sometimes if people can't remember the sequences, or if it's too complicated, or if the exercises are too challenging and are not modified, then, you know, not everybody will be able to practice. And it really is a modality, from what I've experienced, that is accessible to everybody.
It really is. And you don't even have to do it all standing, right? We can do it sitting or even laying down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's for all ages. So it's very simple. I teach even 93-year-olds how to do Qigong, and they love it.
Now, if you were to describe what Qigong is in your own words, what would you say about it to folks who might not be familiar with energy healing or martial arts?
Well, just to give everybody a little visual, most people have at least heard of Tai Chi. So it's just gentle body movements. So you would just do these simple arm movements. Sometimes we do a little swaying, and a lot of breath. We often will bring in sound as well. So we did, we'll do a little chanting as well. So these movements are very, very gentle, like I said, and anybody can do them.
Mm-hmm. So why is it important for, how does the energy move through the body, and why is it important that there's no obstructions in the meridians of the body?
Right. So blockages, like a river has been, if a river was dammed and there's water up above the dam, but nothing below. So that is your blockages in your energy systems. And so in order just to move through these gentle moving exercises will help bring balance and remove those blockages to create energy flow, in all of your meridians.
And how does the, how do the movements and the breath together help to do that? Like just keeping in mind that people that are listening may not even be much familiar with the energy and how it moves and how it's connected actually universally to us.
Okay, I will do my best. So as we sit, even just sitting can help bring congestion to your energy flow. And Master Lin believes that we sit too much in our North American culture, at least. And so when we do these simple movements of just swaying the legs or the hips or opening up the arms, it actually extends the meridians and can help create more flow. So you're lengthening your body, right? You're creating space in your torso. And, through repetition, even if you couldn't do a big movement, it's not necessary. But if you were to be consistent, you eventually would improve, the physical ability and be able to create more movement. Mm. So it's good, better, best practice.
Yeah, we're basically built to really move our bodies, I think, as humans. We weren't really designed, if you look at our bodies, even to be sitting as much of the time as we are today. So
that's exactly it. Yeah.
Yeah, there was actually a great TED Talk that came out a while ago on what they're finding now about sitting too much, like how that's actually affects the health and starts to sort of compress the spine, and you don't have to do these exercises for a long time to get benefit is what you're basically saying. Even a few minutes a day can make a really big difference.
It can be instant. Like for me, it was instant gratification. I could feel the difference in my body. I had a ton of energy before, frenetic energy in my body, and didn't know how to deal with that. But Qigong has helped to calm me down. I still have beautiful energy, but it's really helped calm me down. If that helps, Jen.
Yeah, like a grounding force.
Yeah, it just settles the energy, and it got rid of all that extra energy in my body, so I could just, be who I am without feeling anxious, worried about what the world thought. It's really, these simple movements are incredibly powerful.
Well, it's interesting because I've been doing a lot of studies into childhood trauma and early trauma, actually, and how it affects our neurology and our body chemistry. And when we went to watch Master Chuni Lin a few weeks ago when he was in Calgary, he actually told a story about how his journey started. And one of those things that he talked about to the audience was traumatic experiences, quite violent experiences that he had in China growing up.
Yeah.
And what was interesting to me now, like studying all this, how early trauma affects us, is that he found a way to calm his nervous system and to heal from those early experiences through Qigong. So it seems to me that, it's this is something that people can practice if, you know, if they struggle with things like anger from past yeah. experiences, or if they feel the world too much, like they take on other people's emotions or states, or if they're always in a hypervigilant state because of past traumatic experiences. Can you speak a little bit to that?
Yeah, well, if we go back to Master Chuni Lin, he actually had bone spurs in his back and extremely bad knees. In fact, some days couldn't even walk. And he loved basketball. And so it was quite devastating that he couldn't be active because of his knees and his back. And eventually it went into suicidal depression. Mm-hmm. So after studying Qigong for a while, or on a parade square actually for 8 hours, when he got up, his knees and back, he had no more pain in. And he could feel that joy was entering his body. And so his suicidal depression left. Mm-hmm. So it can help you mentally, emotionally, and physically, as Master Lin shows us and talks about often in his talks. So it's really good to help balance every aspect of your life. He says it's holistic healing. So no matter what's going on in your life, it's going to balance all of it, mm-hmm. so that you can have, you know, more balance, more joy, more health.
Mm. Now, one thing I've learned about working with the body so much for so many years and dancing is that really there's so much wisdom we can tap into by moving our bodies and connecting with our bodies, and that our bodies actually contain a lot of information and wisdom that we don't get to connect with unless we're actually in our bodies. So sometimes with trauma, what happens is people learn to dissociate and be out of their bodies because that was an early coping strategy. How does Qigong put you back in your body? And then what have you personally learned from being in your body more?
So how does it bring you in your body? So it's about focused concentration, mind visualization, and you talked about the sound and the breath work. So breathing, sound, mind visualization, and concentrated focus just gently brings you slowly back into your body. And it can be progressive, you know, throughout weeks and months of consistent practice, or some people might actually feel, you know, much relief very quickly. And so it really is, Jen, a culmination of all of those events to bring you back into your body slowly. And it's actually really fun to get to know yourself on the inside. That's been part of my journey is getting to know myself, feeling my body, knowing when I'm out of balance, you know, when that frenetic energy wants to come back, or even, you know, taking the world on, you know, with the Fort McMurray fires up here. I go back to my foundation practice, back to my breath, because it doesn't help us to feel what other people are feeling. We want to have balance in our life so we can help them with their healing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It also seems to me, I work a lot with kids, and so we talk a lot about supporting kids and learning how to self-regulate, meaning, you know, how can they learn to calm down their own nervous systems when they're too aroused or when they're, you know, feeling anxious or, and to me, what I've experienced with Qigong is that it trained my body to go out of that fight and flight response. It was a beginning thing that helped me to start training it before I started studying shamanism. And it gave me a sense of, you know, people don't have to live with suffering. You know, pain is a part of living, but the suffering as a continuance of that momentary pain, it doesn't have to be there as a plague if we can learn how to calm ourselves. Yes. And how to come back to our centers, which I find that Qigong does really well because the focus is always on the Dantian.
It is.
On
and
the center
breath.
Of gravity.
Yeah, yeah. The breath, I think, is probably, it's the biggest element. It's the most important element of Qigong because as you breathe in, it's reaching the sympathetic, and as you breathe out, it's reaching your parasympathetic, so calming that fight or flight. So I believe everybody has 5 minutes a day to learn how to breathe. And hopefully, you know, you get some benefits out of that. You start calming down. You notice and you feel in your body that you actually start learning to love yourself more, Jen. Mm. I think once you can get in there, you have, you know, it's getting to know yourself through love, through kindness and compassion. When we have that, of course, that just helps us to share our stories, our healing with other people.
Mm. Yeah, and of course, you know, this has been studied quite intensely, what happens to the breath when people are in fight or flight. And we know that, you know, people are not breathing well when they're in that state. So anything that can start to train that in more or help us to remember, because you watch babies and they just, their whole body fills up like a, you know, like a bagpipe.
Yeah. You know, we call Qigong breathing fetal breathing, in essence. So in Qigong, we teach people when to breathe, when, as they breathe in, you're basically visualizing the universal healing energy coming in through all of your pores, and then you see it collecting in that lower energy center that's tucked in behind your navel. And as you exhale, you release what no longer serves you. So you leave that physical, that mental, that emotional stuff. You see that leaving your body and going back, you know, to Mother Nature, so she can take care of it.
Can you talk a little bit about that energy center, the Dantian, and what the significance is of that, the one right behind your navel?
Yeah, so there's actually three energy centers in traditional Chinese medicine. So the lower Dantian, the upper Dantian, or sorry, the mid Dantian is your heart, and the upper is third eye. The lower Dantian is really basically your vitality. It's your vitality center. It's your root. And you can like that too. And so it's a really important center to keep connected to it. Most of us, in our culture, anyways, our Western world here, we actually are in our head so much that if we can just breathe it down and visualize your energy dropping into the lower part of your body, the lower Dantian, it really helps to relax and reduce stress and reduce anxiety.
Mm. In shamanic medicine, it's called the center of gravity. So that's where the energy should never be high. Like in your heart, the energy should always be down, because that's what grounds us and that's the center point of our body. And that's actually where our wisdom comes from that area of our body. So it's interesting, the connections.
That is very interesting how your medicine and Chinese medicine relates to each other and flows together so nicely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I find, you know, the more I study shamanic medicine, which of course, you know, Qigong is a form of shamanic medicine, the more I see that there's so many connections that are similar. So like, how did somebody in Australia, an Aborigine in Australia, you know, learn the exact same things that you can see, you know, they have different practices, but the core of some of their medicine practices are very similar to the core of some of the medicine practices here in the Americas. And same with the Chinese. Like, it's very interesting to me how, you know, all these different cultures found a way to understand how the energy system of the body works. And how it's connected to universal energy as well.
Well, I think that's what it's basically all about. We're all tapping into the same sort of energy, but we're getting different messages out of it. Mm. It's all the same, but it's slightly different that will resonate with whatever culture we're talking about, right? Mm. I love that.
So what have you learned about that universal energy by doing Qigong? What are some of the personal messages that you've had from that?
Well, knowing that we're all one. It just touches my heart so much, because I always thought I had to do everything on my own, that I could do it all on my own. I can do anything and everything, but not in balance. And so once I started connecting to the universe and really letting her come in and meet with me, you just know that you're supported. Mm. You just know that that all that wisdom is coming in and helping you, creating balance and flow in your body.
Mm. And, you know, what strikes me too, I went to your class last night and I really appreciated the fact that you do sort of a calling in where people can call in the the spirits in the light that work with them in the spirit world to come in and be with them and support them through the practice and reinforce that peace that although we're alone in the sense that we're the only ones that can live our lives, we're really not alone in the sense that we have a whole universe really supporting us if we connect with it, which is another thing that Qigong does really well.
Yeah, we're never alone, even though we may feel like that. You know, just calling it. So we do that password, right, the universal password that connects us to the universe. And then we talk about calling in the master's energy. And for us in Qigong, the master is anybody with deep respect that you have on this plane or another. And it's about, you know, converging your energies together and really just letting them come in and help you deepen your healing. It just makes you understand that there's so much more out there for us to learn. Mm. And we just need to ask for some help.
And it seems to be non-denominational too, where, you know, a Christian could come in and gain a deeper connection with Jesus, for instance, by doing this practice. Or
Buddha, or Buddha, Allah, or Kuan Yin. I mean, you know, I'm not sure how that would work. Can you tell me what might work for your medicine? Who can you call upon?
Well, what I've noticed is that I grew up Catholic, so I have a lot of those Christian. I've already have a relationship with a lot of those Christian teachers, and when I started shamanism, I was really shocked when I did my drum journeys to see them there. You know, Jesus and Mary have always been really strong because when I was growing up, my grandma always said to all the grandkids, you know, if you're having a hard time, call on them, they'll help you. So I always did. And I was always quite involved with the Catholic Church when I was young. And so when I started shamanism, after leaving the Catholic Church, it was really interesting to me that really those energies that you form a communion with when you're working with them, they stay with you. Similarly, when I started the pranic healing practice many, many years ago, and I don't practice it anymore, but when I'm in my meditations or go on journeys, those energies still show up to help me. It really is like building a relationship. So I call on all of those people. So last night when I was at your class, I called on all those people. And then I just wait and see who shows up.
Oh, that's so beautiful, Jen.
It's interesting to me to see, well, who's showing up today? And then sometimes they have a message for me and they'll say, this is why we came today. And sometimes they don't. But the fact that I know that the relationship is there and I've been building it over time and it's changed over time, just like, you know, any relationship changes over time. If you keep that connection going, is really, it helps me when I do my practices for sure.
Yeah. They're never really gone. I think all those masters are around us or your spirit guides are, I think they're always around. It's just, who you can call upon exactly like you did, who would come and help me with your healing. You know, I didn't grow up with any faith. You know, I had a spiritual essence to me that I knew that there was something bigger, and I loved being part of Mother Nature and respecting her. But what's interesting, Jen, I just came back from actually level 5 in California earlier this year, and we stayed at a mission center down in California. And it was an old Catholic seminary. And it was St. Francis. And so when I walked in, it was all these beautiful St. Francis statues, never mind the beautiful grounds and the beautiful energy around that. And I thought, well, that was, you know, that's kind of lovely. And I don't know St. Francis. Again, I don't know. I'm learning all of these beautiful guides that are coming to me. And, you know, a long story short, I actually helped to rescue a dog down there. And, of course, if anybody knows, St. Francis is the healer of animals and small children. Mm. And so I came back, which was a very profound teaching for me, because I didn't know that I had access to these people because I didn't know them. So being open to that St. Francis and opened to his mission center down there was so beautiful. I came back and I just have had such a resurgence in wanting to work with people and their animals so that we can create harmony in the home or in the barn or, you know, in the fields. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I say that I didn't think I had a connection to St. Francis, but I came home and I looked in my jewelry box. And when I was a little girl, my mom gave me a beautiful, tiny silver medallion, and it was St. Francis.
Mm.
So kind of a really interesting full circle. Didn't really know him, you know, didn't feel like I knew him, but somehow I must have. Because, you know, he's helping me bring back into this, you know, beautiful animal kingdom.
Well, and of course, you know, for the listeners that don't know you, you've had a long history of working with animals, too. So it's not like... this was new or an epiphany. It was like more like a, you know, this is something you've been doing for quite a while, working with animals.
Yeah, it's kind of a, mm-hmm. it's almost like a coming home.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love both people. My experience in Qigong has helped my heart grow so much and have so much more compassion, you know, to my neighbors and to my, you know, my community and to my country and the world. But it's just time to help people, you know, remind them that the more balanced we are in our home, the more balanced our children and our animals will be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting to me this you know turn that our conversation has taken, because what I've experienced from Qigong is if you are disconnected from the spiritual aspect of yourself, which most people on this side of the planet are. It can give you sort of an antenna to reconnect. And what I found with Qigong, especially because it does bring you back to yourself, is that it's very empowering. So you're not leaning on someone else as much to heal you, quote unquote, because you realize that the healing is really our legacy as human beings. I love Master Chuni Lin's vision. When I went to the website, he says that his vision is a healer in every family and a world without pain, to awaken our inner knowing that we are all born healers and that we have the power to heal ourselves and our world.
Absolutely. I have that. I've always known that philosophy, that I believe we have the ability to heal ourselves. We often will still need support now and again by different professionals, you know, whether it's massage therapy or psychology or Western physicians or, you know, your medicine, whatever it is. But it's learning and trusting that you can learn to heal yourself, and then know that you have the support, the physical support or the mental support, emotional support out there as well when you need it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's one thing that the shamanism does really well, is it really does empower people to connect with their own healing ability, so that you know, the training is empowering and coming back to our own power that all of us are born with, that it's not so much searching outside of ourselves all the time, but coming back inside ourselves, which Qigong also does well, to find the answers inside. Whether that means, you know I have to work on this piece, so bringing in resources as you need, like those practitioners, but the knowledge comes from inside.
Yeah,
which is what I find really, really empowering, you know, when I work on my own healing. Now, one thing that I'm curious about, because I know some people that are listening might be thinking, well, how can I possibly be a healer? Like, this doesn't make sense. You know, some people have the belief that there are some people out there that might have abilities for healing, but not everybody. What is it about humans and their particular energetic structure, or whatever, however you think of that, that means that they are automatically healers, that they can heal themselves?
Well, I guess, you know, part of that is having faith, right? And connecting to your consciousness, opening your heart with love, kindness, and compassion. Once you do that, you're going to feel such an amazing journey within yourself. You know, Jen, let me tell you a little bit about myself. I think you know some of my story, but I grew up with no real self-esteem, not anything to do with my parents. This is my journey. My family, you know, they were all supportive and loving. It was my journey. And I had no self-compassion. I was very hard on myself. I didn't want people to touch me. You know, don't come near me. You're going to hurt me. And in my 10 years, but most profoundly the last 3.5 years of Spring Forest, I have learned to love myself in such a deep way. And just by doing these movements, these gentle foundational movements, they're very simple. There's not very many of them. But helping to open up my meridians and creating flow has given me a deeper healing and a deeper understanding of myself and what I can do. So though, you know, I have work to do as well, still, I am so happy and grateful for where I am, because now I'm not shy anymore. I don't have social anxiety. Here I am talking to you on a radio program where 3 years ago, I would have been mortified. In fact, you know, I don't even sit beside people and talk to them before. And now I sit on buses or, you know, walk my dogs and I'm chatting with everybody. It's changed my life.
Or teaching classes for that matter.
Yeah. I love teaching. You know that.
Yeah. Diane and I just did for the listeners out there that might not know, Diane and I just did a medicine wheel workshop here in Calgary where we combined the medicine from the East with the medicine from here in the Americas. And we didn't really know how it was going to turn out, but we were both really interested in, you know, how both these shamanic medicines could come together, both these styles of shamanic medicine could come together to teach the medicine wheel, for one thing, in an experiential way. And it was really powerful, I thought, how they just kind of meshed together. And what I really loved about it was that because they were all practices, people weren't learning out of a book or through mental concepts. They were actually experiencing it in their bodies and getting their own knowing from what we were doing. So do you want to talk a little bit about what you did, Diane, for your pieces? Because some of it included the sound healing, which I want to talk about.
Sure. Well, I basically just did a few of the active exercises. So bringing everybody back into their bodies, getting them to breathe. You know, we do an opening sequence where we say that we bounce our bodies. So, you know, just to give a visual, we stand with our feet just slightly more than shoulder width apart. And then with soft knees, we just kind of bounce up and down. And what that is doing is also helping us to move around the stagnant energy that we all have in our bodies. And it makes it easier to transform the energy, the extra energy in your body. And so we just basically start with a little bit of bouncing and then gently going into this beautiful moving meditation. So again, going back to opening up your energy channels and creating more flow. So really getting in tune with, you know, your body, breathing in gently and breathing out deeply and just, you know, just really reconnecting to yourself. And once everybody's in there, you can and you can really feel how the energy drops in the room. Everybody is grounded. You know, it was just such a beautiful but powerful, simple practice. I think the entire day was so impactful, Jen. I love learning more of your medicine, but the concept of us coming together and how well it flowed, and just to see the light bulbs in, you know, the students' eyes is always so gratifying for me.
Yeah. And the part also around, you know, everybody coming away with their own meaning, with their own healing messages that they gained from inside of them or from their guides, also is a piece that you can't replicate through a book or through that kind of, you have to practice it in order to understand it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's your medicine too, right? Practice making those medicine wheels, your drumming, practice, you know, that's that consistency of deeper healing for sure.
Yeah. Well, we always say too, you know, like you can get something out of reading about shamanism or reading about Qigong or watching videos, but it kind of, if that's what you do, you're only ever really going to understand it as a mental concept with no experiential, with no experience to go with it. It's the experience of practicing and what you learn through that experience of practicing, some of which is not explainable with words, that actually teaches you and on a deep level.
Yeah, we so for example, we use our conscious mind to listen and learn, watch videos, read books, you know, take notes. But in Qigong, if you can get into your consciousness, the emptiness, that's where the knowing comes in, or the messages come in, you know, more flow. So again, bringing yourself into that, the deeper learning.
Yeah. It's interesting that you mentioned the consciousness. And to me, Qigong sits in the middle of the medicine wheel, the center, where the void is. We danced the void the other night at the Soul Vine dancing ceremonies that we have here in Calgary. And it was really interesting because, you know, I've been studying the medicine wheel for 11 years and there's so much more to learn. And so I was curious to see what I was going to learn about the center that I didn't know already, you know, as a felt knowing. The interesting thing when I was creating the playlist for it is all the songs were religious. I had Buddhist songs in there. I had Christian songs. I had, powwow music in there. There was so much variety, but what I realized is that that void place, or that place that Qigong connects you with, or the way I experience it, that place is actually the place where we have contact with consciousness, with all of consciousness and all of its forms and all of the ways that people have found to connect with the spiritual aspect of living. So it's interesting that we've already been talking about, you know, connecting with those energies that are out there to support us in the universe.
Yeah, don't you think that our consciousness, I wants us to be whole and balanced. I mean, all of our guides want us to be whole and balanced, so it's a good place to spend some time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So talk to me more about the sound healing that you do, and then how has Qigong sort of meshed in with that really well? Because they seem to go together quite easily.
And that's what's so interesting. I started off with tuning forks years ago and loved how the animals actually reacted so quickly. You know, animals naturally want to be balanced. And so it taught me how to work with that energy and how to figure out how can we help our humans? Because, you know, we get up into our minds and into our brains so much. So sound, what it can do is can break up the blockages in connective tissues and help bring you back into your body. So giving you some peace, you know, less anxiety, decreased depression, of course, you know, all of that beautiful stuff. And then I got into Tibetan bowls, and I love the singing bowls. And the Tibetan singing bowls are mostly heart medicine and grounding. And again, I think a lot of us need more of that, really keeping us attached, you know, connected to Mother Earth. Mm. And so when I got into Qigong, it was really interesting because one of the four elements is actual sound. And though Master Chun Yi Lin, we do sound by chanting, I believe we can also just bring in whatever sound that makes us feel good. So Tibetan bowls make me feel good. The didgeridoo makes me feel really good. And your drums make me feel amazing. Mm. So sound, it's about creating the feeling, or knowing the feeling in your body and how it, how you react to it. And if it makes you smile, you know, then be curious and open to all the different sounds out there. And it could be as simple as crickets, as birds chirping, as the winds, you know, swaying the leaves in your trees in your backyard. Sound is such an important aspect of getting you back in your body and just feeling it.
Yeah, and of course, you know, we know from an energy medicine point of view that sickness, illness, and disease vibrates at a very, very low level. So what the sound does is it helps us to attune to higher vibrational energies, which breaks up all that low vibrating energy that's stuck in your body too. So to me, as somebody that works with energy medicine, it makes sense that if you combine the sound, that high vibration sound, with the movement and the breath and the consciousness, that a lot has the potential to move in even just a really short session, really.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be long. You saw last night that, you know, just having the bowl just for a couple of minutes at the end, you know, just hearing a little bit and feeling the vibration, you know, it's just really helpful to open your heart and ground. And everybody just loves, you know, having that little bit more in the class. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I always find when the bowls or the, you know, or the dij or the drums or any kind of instrument is played right over my body, that it's like a, it's like what I experience is like a massage for my auric field and my chakra system. Kind of like when you go to an RMT and you have a physical massage, my whole body just kind of relaxes. And I can feel that, you know, that heavy energy kind of move out of my body very quickly with sound. That's why I've always used singing and drumming as a way to balance myself, because I just know it's always worked for me since I was a kid.
Yeah. It's a beautiful modality. And like I say, anything, you know, if you like listening to waterfall, the ocean.
Mm.
Yeah. If you play music, play it more. Sing to yourself. Chant. You know, if you were to chant Om, if you put your hand on your chest, Jen, and say the word Om, you can feel it. Even just as simple as just the word, you can really feel the vibration in your chest. Mm-hmm. And then when you go deeper and you want to say the real Om and how it filters your entire body.
Mm.
You just, you know, it's that, you know, whatever word, it could be hallelujah, you know, whatever it is, you just find a good word, put your hand on your chest and feel what the vibration does.
And of course, there is a long tradition, at least in Iron Church Qigong, of doing the six healing sounds that that correspond to the organs in the body. So Qigong masters from a really long time ago knew that sound was a pretty integral tool for healing. So it's very interesting that you just intuitively knew that connecting those two would increase the practice for people, probably.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, Master Chuni Lin is actually, he has a CD out that is chanting. And actually, he's got a couple out that is chanting, and it really does help and correspond to different organs, and it can connect even to, you know, to your spirit. It does so much for you. But he is starting to study sound in a more profound way. He said to me the last time we chatted was he really loves the bowls and what they do, and now he's trying to understand at a deeper level of what they do. So he's doing some deep, you know, meditating over all of these beautiful sounds. And yeah, it can help again, it's that holistic healing, right?
Mm.
Yeah.
Now, is that CD available on the website?
It is. Both of his CDs are available on his website. One is called the Six Word Chant. And then the other is the Buddhist, I think it's the Buddhist Chant.
Okay.
And hopefully, you know, we've been encouraging him to, bring out more chanting. It's certainly going to be in the works.
Excellent. So for the listeners at home, if you want to check that out, go to www.springforestqigong.com. Qigong is spelled Qigong. And I'll give that address later too in the show. One thing I'm curious about, Diane, is I know you work with a lot of different demographics with Qigong. Can you tell us a little bit about your work with elders? Maybe some of the shifts and changes you've noticed with the elders that you've worked with and what you've learned from working with elders.
Yeah, absolutely. They're one of my favorite demographics to work with. First of all, they respond very easily to Qigong. Because the movements are very gentle and very simple, they can do most of the active exercises, even just sitting down. And you know, some of them in their 90s have a little bit difficulties to hold the postures, but they still get the benefit of starting and stopping the Qigong. So my seniors are anywhere from about 65 to about 93. And what I've learned from them is first of all, I may be the teacher at that moment, but they are as well, my group is my teacher. So I might be theirs, but they are definitely mine. You know, Jen, one of the most profound things I've seen in my seniors, which is so sad to me, is that many of them are depressed. Many of them have mobility issues. And they don't know the word happiness. And so I've been, you know, we've having these little discussions about how I can create happiness, how I can show them what it feels like to get back into their bodies and feel happiness. And it's taken a few weeks of talking and doing these active exercises. And, you know, I've asked them to even bring in show and tell things that maybe make them feel, something. And so, you know, one lady then after about 5 or 6 weeks, she came in and she had never smiled. She was very sad and very, very just odd, slightly above depression. She was sad. And she came in with this big, beautiful smile, my 90-year-old, big smile on her face. She goes, Diane. Yes, Betty. She goes, I'm happy today. And I feel it. Jen, that was it for me. I want to help the world have a little more happiness in their life, have a little more joy, a little more healing, the compassion. So they're teaching me, how to help not only myself, but all the others and have inspired me to. Now I have two seniors groups, that I go to every week and they have so much to give back to us, so much teachings that we can learn from their journey, from history, but also as they go forward.
From their life experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I love that, that part in Master Chuni Lin's presentation where he encourages people to have like a smile on their face. He says, it doesn't matter if you don't mean it, you can trick your body into feeling it.
Yeah.
And it kind of reminded me of laughter yoga, where you might not feel like laughing, but if you start laughing, even if you don't mean it at the beginning, towards the end, you're more likely to be actually laughing genuinely. So I love that.
He says, fake it till you make it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Now, another group that you work with regularly is veterans, and I can imagine that this is also a unique group because there's probably a lot of PTSD and other symptomology that those folks are struggling with. How does this group respond to Qigong, and what have you learned from them?
Well, actually, we haven't quite got a group going in the veterans field as yet. That is one of the special interest groups I'd like to work with. What I do, though, is I volunteer up at the Veterans Food Bank here in Calgary. And so basically, what I'm doing is sharing my energy, helping them in the food bank and giving them positive messaging while I'm there. You know, a lot of Qigong, actually, is about positive messaging. And our veterans at any, doesn't matter the age group, because we have very young veterans as well, most of them don't have positive messaging either. So me just being there and talking to the staff and hanging out with the veterans that come in, whether they're picking up their food bank donations or maybe, dropping stuff off because they're volunteers there too. So I haven't got the Qigong in there yet, Jen, but, that is my desire is to work with veterans in the future.
Mm. Well, you might have to come back and let us know how that goes.
I'd love to.
I was searching the net when I was researching the show, and I loved watching you being interviewed on the Owl's Nest on YouTube by that young lady. I don't know, she's about 10 or something. What have you learned by working with children in the area of healing medicine?
Oh, Jen, they're so easy to get energy medicine. They just get it at such a level. So Emma, when she interviewed me, immediately when she put up her hands in the how we put our arms out just gently out to the side, and our fingers are slightly open, our shoulders are relaxed. In that pose, she could feel it, and you could see her energy calm down right away.
Mm.
And that's what she said to me. She said, I don't understand why it was so simple.
Mm.
And she, you know, because young girls, young children have anxiety too, and you know, tons of anxiety actually, and for many different reasons. But if we can teach them at a young age, how beneficial would that be to our, you know, to our communities?
Mm.
To teach any form of meditation, any form of to decrease anxiety, I think, you know, our kids would have a more profound life. They wouldn't have to go through all that anxiety and depression.
Yeah, and they're so, you know, kids are so receptive to new things and willing to try things without all of the mental dialogue that adults tend to have.
Yeah.
So I love
they don't get in their way.
No, you know, I love doing journeys with kids, especially little kids, you know, like we're hardly out on the drum journey and they're like, I know what my animal is. You know, sometimes before they already know because they, you know, they're not as locked in their communication with those universal energies. So
no, they want to be open, right? They're open. They typically are happy. You know, they want to experience new things. And Emma she's just a prime example of how easy it is. And getting back to sound, she picked up one of the bowls and, you know, started strumming it. And she couldn't believe how that felt in her body.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Jen, it can be easy for all of us, right? It can be easy. It can be a journey still, but it can be easy. If we could move slightly out of our own way, you know, and go deeper into our healing.
Yeah, I always say to people when they start shamanic medicine, just go into your kindergarten mind, you know, and just explore. You don't have to believe anything or not believe anything. Just be in the energy of it and then decide for yourself. You know, it's not, and kids just do that really naturally. They just are interested in exploring the world and, you know, learning more about things that they, you know, are curious about. Yeah, so for folks out there, look that up, the Owl's Nest YouTube interview with Diane Smith. It was really great. A great example.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead, Diane.
No, that's okay. No, go ahead. I lost my train of thought right there.
Well, we're coming to the end of the show, but what I thought might also be an interesting thing to talk about and an important thing to talk about, because meditation is a part of the Qigong practice. Can you talk a little bit about why the meditation and what that looks like a little bit? And maybe even
sure.
Guide us through a short meditation?
I can certainly try, absolutely. So Master Lin meditation is about, again, we're going to access our consciousness. So he wants us to go into the void, and by us going into the void, you know, and staying there for any length of time, whether it's 5 minutes or if you have an hour, that's awesome. But what it's doing again is connecting into the awareness so that you can help deepen your own healing. So quieting the mind, quieting the body, you know, just going into that almost falling asleep state. And the benefits are so huge. Again, decreased depression, anxiety reduction. You know, it's just an overall health benefit. It helps with focus, more concentration. So it's a wonderful modality. And what we do in our drop-in groups is towards the end, about 15, 20 minutes, we play different meditations. So Master Lin sells guided meditations. And one of them is the butterfly healing, which you heard last night, Jen.
Mm.
And it's interesting you were talking about the children, because towards the end of that meditation, he asks you to connect into your young self and see yourself playing in the field and playing with your friends, and where you had all you had is joy and fun, no concerns, just enjoying, you know, that moment of playing out in the park with your friends. So connecting to that inner child, like you said, it's a beautiful place to spend some time. So meditation is a big part of what we do, and it's a huge health benefit.
Mm. So we're almost at the end of our show, but can you guide us through a really short, like 5 minute meditation maybe that we can do together?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
Okay. So I'm just going to ask that everybody just take a nice deep breath in. And you're going to visualize that beautiful universal healing energy coming in through every pore and see that collecting into the lower dantian, again, the navel area, just in behind. And then I want you to exhale and release what no longer serves you, seeing your extra emotions leaving your body, seeing the extra pain, just releasing what no longer serves you. Nice deep breath in and gently out. And I want you to relax your shoulders. And if you are tight or tense in that area, just drop your shoulders. Focus on your breath. Breathing deeply into that navel area and exhaling. Feeling the gentle relaxing in your body. All your entire body is relaxing, starting at your feet, your ankles, your calves and knees, so relaxed. Your upper legs and your hips, so open. All the energy channels are open. You're feeling just so amazing right now as you are breathing and focusing on yourself. Your back, your spine, your beautiful vertebrae are, they have this gorgeous emptiness in between, creating space. You're sitting tall. Your organs, every organ is relaxed and happy. Your stomach, see the smile in your stomach. See the smile in your uterus. See the smile in your kidneys. Breathing deeply and gently. Your shoulders are relaxed and your arms and hands feel so relaxed, so amazing. Your neck soft and open. And your head beautiful, relaxed, soft, deep breathing. And just notice how your body is feeling. Doing a gentle scan from the top of your head and slowly now going back down to your feet. Feeling how good you feel. All of your channels are open. All your blockages are gone. You are completely healed. And now just focus in back to your lower dantian and take a nice deep breath there, seeing a beautiful golden ball. Seeing that ball getting brighter and brighter. Feeling the warmth as it spreads out in the lower part of your torso. And now gently, gently bring that ball up into your heart on your inhalation and feeling that warmth spreading throughout your heart. Opening up your rib cage with every inhalation. Shoulders are feeling wide, soft. Your chest and back are open for your ever-expanding heart. And now you see that beautiful golden ball going back down to your lower dantian. And that beautiful golden ball starts to spin. And see that ball spinning faster and faster. Getting brighter and brighter. Use that mind and visualization. See that ball in all of its glory. And now it's getting smaller and smaller until it turns into the size of an energy pill, which you tuck deep in behind your navel. Now, focusing back on that lower dantian, take three deep, gentle breaths. Just gently opening up your eyes, putting a beautiful smile on your face. And I hope you all have the most amazing day.
Thanks for being with us, Diane.
Thank you, Jen, so much for having me today.
Anytime. So we are closing out the show, but I want to let everybody in the Calgary area know that Diane's going to be leading one-hour sessions at the Fish Creek Park on Tuesday night here in Calgary this summer. If you want to know more about how to practice here in Calgary, you can email Diane at energybalancing.diane@gmail.com. Again, energybalancing is all one word, .diane@gmail.com, all lowercase. If you want to find out more about Spring Forest Qigong internationally, go to the website at www.springforestqigong.com. And again, Qigong is spelled Q-I-G-O-N-G. Thank you, everybody, for coming and listening to the show. And thank you to Marielle for the behind-the-scenes production. And next month, please join us. We interview Dr. Tanya Ji on the topic of traditional Chinese medicine from a bit of a different slant than what we've taken today. But it also is a show not to miss, for sure. Thanks, everybody. Much aloha to everybody, and we'll see you next time.